ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Conspiracy Playtime Podcast. Tonight, we have a special treat for you, going live on Jack Allen, his own feed, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence Podcast. We're going to shoot the shit a little bit tonight and kind of try to hijack some of his viewers. So, everybody, why don't you welcome Jack Allen? Hey, buddy, thanks for coming on tonight.
Dude, thanks for having me. I'm very excited. I you know, I still stand by. You're one of the greatest people here in this community that I met. You're a good, solid guy, dude. So thank you for having me on.
You know, coming from you, that means a lot. A lot of people say stuff like that, and it's kind of empty. But since you yourself are a good guy, I'm going to take a lot of stock in that compliment. So thank you very much, Jack. How are you doing? Your dog's diarrhea is all better, correct?
Yeah, it's getting, yes. Today at 5 o'clock, we had a relatively normal poop, but the past 5 days has been every 2 hours. It's a long time for a puppy. I know, dude. And my wife works nights. And so it worked like, just, I don't know why this is, but he would poop every 2 hours, but only after like 8 p.m. So when she's sleeping, he's fine, you know, so it gets to just happen to me when he's, you know, so I'm the one losing sleep. But now, so I'm thankful he's asleep right now. So I hope the worst is over.
Yeah, sounds like you guys have like a karmic shit connection. Your wife goes to sleep and he just starts shitting everywhere.
That's pretty, dude, that's kind of how it's felt. Yeah, yeah. And she's a heavy sleeper, you know.
And I've seen these pictures you've been posting on Twitter. Charlie is a beautiful dog.
Thank you.
Is he a retriever?
Yes, English cream golden retriever.
Okay. Yeah. English what?
Yeah. I guess it's just like a white golden retriever.
Okay.
I think, but it's called an English cream.
Okay. I thought that's what you said. Cream.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gorgeous, dude. I love retrievers. Okay. I had one for years, and it was like when I was in a relationship with somebody, and it was pretty much her dog, even though I raised it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was hard to let Sunny go. And now I got.
Oh, I bet, dude.
Right here.
Hey, how's your pup doing?
Say hi, bud. Come here. He's good. He's not quite a pup. He's about 8. So.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
What kind is he?
He is a husky mutt. So his dad was a Malamute Siberian Husky mix, kind of just like a big wolf looking dog, and then that dog impregnated my sister's dog, who was just a little black mutt. So
wow.
Yeah.
And do you does he have to run a lot? Like, do you have a big yard, or how do you get him, or how do you like get him exercise?
Well, so for the first half of his life I lived out in the country, and kind of as he's mellowed out, he's really kind of just needs a walk a day, which I can manage.
Yeah.
So yeah. He also has a yard. So I just have a dog door.
You have one now?
Yeah, I have a dog door. So when I go to work, he can go outside whenever he wants.
Oh man, he's living a good dog life.
Yeah, he's got it good. I don't know what he did to deserve it, but here he is. So, Jack, I kind of wanted to ask you about a few things. I think we established this last time you were on my show. And for the listeners who don't remember or haven't watched this episode or listened to it, fuck, I'm forgetting which number it was, but it was the mass shooters and serial killers episode. And I was kind of hijacking on your research you did after reading McGowan's book, Programmed to Kill.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I told you on that episode, it was a three-parter that you did, right?
Yeah.
I learned more on that than I actually did from his book, which, say what you will. I mean, did you do other research aside from just reading his book on that?
No, dude. That, I'm a mate, like Charlie Robinson, shout out to Charlie. I mean, he's like amazing. It's like, I can just, the book, that's like all the time I read the book and I can do the notes on it. But people like, I mean, I don't listen too much podcasts anymore, but I was always so impressed with him because he could pick a topic, and I don't know how he got all the information to create. I mean, it's so much, as you know, dude, it's a lot of work. Like so, I just take the book and kind of keep it there for that. Yeah.
But I feel like you connected some dots that I myself didn't connect when I read that book. So Maybe it's just the way your mind works. And maybe. Yeah, Charlie on macroaggressions, he's great. And Phil, I wonder if Phil's watching. Do you have a chat going?
He's in here, yeah.
Hey, Phil, and buddy.
Also says you have a very dulcet tone. It's hypnotic, your voice.
What's the word?
Dulcet.
Dulcet.
I think that means very...
Okay.
Skeptic. No, he's using big words. To
look into
us.
My
I don't know
eyes, Phil. You're getting sleepy.
It's sweet and soothing sound. So that's a nice compliment.
Well, thank you. Maybe I should start a band.
Oh.
Do you play any instruments, Jack?
I played the clarinet in fourth grade.
Hey,
how about
dude,
you
could be lead clarinet. I'll be vocals. Now we just need a drummer and a tambourine player. Anybody perfect, out there want to volunteer for such?
We just got to keep it at Jingle Bells and the Saints Go Marching In. I think that's all I still have.
Okay, Jack, so once we get going, dude, you just tell me when you want to be done. I know it's kind of, you're 3 hours ahead of me tonight, and I don't know what time you go to bed, but I've been fascinated with the direction your podcast has been going, because you, along with Phil, you guys read a shitload of books. And you take that knowledge and then you kind of move it into this realm. So really what I want to know is, I mean, when your show first started, it was more conspiracy driven and kind of more current, right?
Yeah.
So when did you kind of step into that other lane and start reading history stuff?
Yeah, dude, that's like a good question. I guess you run out of like conspiracy books. That's the issue. Right. Like there's, and then the more I read like historical books, I find that sometimes the conspiracies I love, you know, like just for example, the Buffalo Bills guy or whatever, you know, is he dead or alive or whatever? And that's, you know, always fun to read.
I don't
about
mean to laugh at that, but just like, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to read about, but at a certain point, it's like, I can't do a show on, is this guy dead or alive? Is this a hand signal? And there's people that are better than me at analyzing those things. And I feel like I missed so much in learning in school and stuff. And I've just found like this new passion on reading historical books. And so that's another issue though. Like I read like a book on the 30 Years War because I didn't know what it was, but that's also tough because it's hard to do a show on the 30 Year War because people in our community, some love history and others, they just want like, you know, the reptiles and stuff like that, which is so much fun. But I don't know. I feel like it's played out. I'm like tired of, I'd rather just learn something that I can actually talk to regular people about.
Okay. Well, see, I kind of like that because to me, let's take the reptile thing since you just said it.
Yeah.
To me, that really ties into history. Like if you want to look at the bloodlines, the 13 bloodlines, what have you, and get into that stuff, then you have to at least sift through a little bit of historical topics. And so I feel like there's certain podcasts out there that really dive into history, and then there's certain podcasts that really dive into like conspiracy theories of the modern era. But there's hardly a lot of people that are doing like a crisscrossing. So that's kind of what we wanted to do here when we started at Conspiracy Playtime, was kind of look at historical events. Like my co-host, who I hope you get to meet at some point, Jeremiah, really good dude. Yeah. He's kind of in the middle of shifting his life. He's like you. He is partnered up. He's actually not married yet, but he's engaged. They have a kid on the way. He's fixing up a house that they're moving into this week, and he still finds time for this sometimes. But so he's more of like the analytical kind of guy.
Okay.
And I'm just like the guy that likes to get weird. So when you put us together, we kind of, it'd be like if you and I had a podcast together.
Right.
It's a great dynamic. And I also love the way that you carry your show by yourself. I mean, you do have guests on, but I've listened to many of your episodes where it's just you talking. Dude. And you do it live too.
Yes. Well, it's not because it's just because I don't edit it anyway. So I figured, and it's fun, you know, like all the people that are here now, you probably can't see them, but
they're, I can't.
You know, some of the people give so much like other information that I haven't heard. And it's just, it feels more like we're hanging out talking. And as you know, I'm sure there's so few people in the real world that care, want to listen, have any interest in whatever the topic may be. They're so like work. People just talk, you know, sports and analyzing a quarterback. And we all need hobbies. And I do things that are mind wasters, but I just can't, you know, there's so few people, dude. Like, have you ever watched, there's the one guy, he's like a conservative man in the street guy. And I can't think of his name, but whenever he'll ask people in the mall or wherever questions, and no matter what answer they give, he says yes. But that's what I feel like the world is like. He'll ask, like, what country, where was the Vietnam? What country was the Vietnam War fought in? And people won't know, or all these things. And dude, it's insane. Like, there's crazy things, and it's scary. Like, what two countries border America? You know, and people, and it's like, but, and those are extremes. But the regular average person, they still couldn't answer. They couldn't, you know, communicate on the level of history that I want to talk about. They probably could tell you about World War II. Like, everyone can tell you the World War II. That's as far as people's historical knowledge goes.
And what do they
know
about it, though, really?
Exactly.
Like, I think I saw one of your tweets the other day, and you're saying that's like one of your favorite topics right now, correct?
I know, I love that topic, and I have done, you know, the CIA, all that CIA, the OSS, all, and that, it's a huge moment. But I was saying that, like, every book.
Oh, like, you said, yeah. 9 out of 10. I thought you were talking about books you were reading. You're talking about books written.
Yes, books, dude, yeah. Like, if you go down the Audible lists or whatever, I mean, and it all says the same stuff. These aren't, because I'll read conspiracy World War II books, but the regular one, dude, it's the same story. You know, Nazis are the ultimate evil. We're the great guys coming in to save the world. And thank God for America, because without us, we'd be speaking German, you know? And it's so far beyond this simple black and white, just like everything, but. Yeah. So,
Astu einen Steifen?
What's that?
Astu einen Steifen?
Oh, is that German?
It is. It's the only German phrase I mean that I. So, my brother dated a exchange student. And I asked her, how do you say I have a boner? And apparently, that's how you say it. I don't know if it's some crude translation, but Astu einen Steifen. Anyway, we didn't lose that war. Have you ever, do you like Philip K. Dick, sci-fi writer?
Yeah.
So do you know
Man in the High Castle? Yeah. But go. Yes. Go.
So what, I mean, that's a trip, right? The two alternate realities kind of intermingling together through the main character.
Have you ever watched the show?
I've never watched the show.
Did you read the book?
No, I haven't watched the show yet.
The show I've watched, like I'm watching it like now when I'm bored. So it's bad. I think it's better than the book, but
really,
That's
high praises, because I think Philip K. Dick's one of my favorite authors.
I haven't read anything. I read that, and I think I read one other one by him. I mean, he was a brilliant guy, too.
Well, his works have influenced or straight up become so many movies. We have, like, gotta remember something about electric sheep. Do androids dream of electric sheep? Became Blade Runner. And then you have Minority Report, one of the best science fiction movies.
Ooh, I didn't know that was him.
That's him. There's others. I'm blanking. It's just like every time I sit down to talk about Philip K. Dick, it all leaves me. But he also had some really crazy ideas about Gnosticism and simulation theory, which I know, like,
really?
Yeah. He thinks that this reality, okay, it really ended like back in the early days, and that it's just been a simulation ever since. Like, he really believed that.
Ooh.
So have you seen, A Scanner Darkly? That's another movie that is based on his work. So that one is Keanu Reeves, Woody Harrelson, Winona Ryder, and it's about the surveillance state getting out of control. And you should watch that. That's
all
a
right.
Good one.
Dude, how is he so, like, that is ahead of his...
He was a visionary.
He
wasn't,
dude,
just
yeah,
an author.
Wasn't he a little crazy? As most
visionaries, I think he was very crazy. I mean, like people in our circle. Crazy good.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be bad at times, but, you know, I think that he saw reality in a way that nobody else did.
And I'm not good. This is way beyond, but I had Nick Hinton on my show.
Oh, yeah.
Who I think is a brilliant guy, dude. He's a young kid, so smart. I mean, just his brain works differently. And I remember I think he was one of the first people I heard that say the world may have ended in 2012. And this is just group consciousness. That's, and, you know, it's, I, the more every day it's like, well, that makes more sense because the world, I can't see the world getting much crazier, and it's, it just continues to do so.
Oh, we've just started crazy. Just wait. That's my opinion. If you think it's crazy now, just wait.
I agree. I
mean, the next time you and I have this conversation, who knows what it'll be like? Because my prediction is they're going to take the internet from us.
Ooh.
And then they're going to give it back. But it's going to be like a watered down version. And if you and I are having this conversation, we're going to have to talk in code.
You know, ChatGPT is that.
I've been hearing a little bit about it lately. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, dude, I saw like the few things that like how it said it was like a social, you know, it's just the example I told my dad this story. I think someone wrote like, tell me a joke about black people stealing or something like that. And it said, I can't do, or they used another group that we can't talk about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it said, no, I can't do that. And then it said, tell the same thing, but with white people. And it created a whole story. And the point of that I took from that, I was like, wow, like this AI is going to be more and more prevalent in our life. And if they can program it to think a certain way, definitely not good for anybody that stands
woke
outside.
AI.
The what's that?
Woke AI.
Yeah, exactly. Dude.
Oh, shit.
And you know that's coming. Yeah.
That's the scariest thought I've heard all day. I've heard some.
I think the chat, it even said, they asked like, what's your political party? And it was like, oh, I'm a bot or whatever. I don't have. And then they said, but if you had to pick, and it said, I would be a socialist. And I was like,
are you shitting
boy.
Me?
No. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Do you still talk to that one guy? The communist dad?
I mean, I had another one on too, but not really. I follow their accounts, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got blasted off Twitter right before the new year. I got taken off. Yeah, you should follow my new account because it's tiny. Like I'm trying to get my followers back. I think so you might be following me. I don't know.
Yeah, the conspiracy. Without a not underscore play. So that's your new account.
That's my new one. It was conspiracy player. There was no slash.
I see.
Yeah. So, dude, I basically, you know who Sean Piker is?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure you know who Sidney Watson is.
Yes. Yeah.
So he piled on after she went on the Vice thing and everybody ganged up on her. And he was showing a video of her on there and he just started calling her all sorts of names and stuff. And all I said in my tweet was, do you mind if I cuss on your live stream? I said, he's the biggest cunt bitch out of all of them because when Sam Hyde like trolled him saying he wanted to fight him, he was shaking in his boots. That's all I said. I got taken down. For hate speech. I appealed it and they said, not only are we taking you down, but it's permanent. We didn't need to give you a warning because we've determined that your account's sole purpose is to spread hate and violence. This is the new Twitter. This is Elon Musk's free speech Twitter. But I got to tell you, I was also releasing several threads about Elon Musk daily.
Ooh,
so
interesting.
I think that's why I got taken down. I call people cunts all the time. Just for fun. And that's usually when they're being one. But, I mean, and in my appeal, I also said, well, it's scientifically proven that Hassan Piker is a cunt. So why are you guys taking me down for that? You know, I wasn't going to take it bending over.
Isn't it amazing, though? Like, I'm not, Odd Man's the expert on Fabian Socialist. But, like, you know, H.G. Wells and all those guys, those great authors were all Fabian Socialist. And I used to think, like, how? Like, these guys had power, money. Like, why would they want to share that? And then the perfect example is just look at the Hassan. And for people that don't know, Hassan Piker is just like he's the Turk guy's nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
Cenk Uygur. He's Cenk Uygur's nephew. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he bought like a $2 million house, but he's a social. It's like, so I can see how this, you know, history. History just rhymes all the time. But I just found it's just amusing that it's the same story, dude. It's the same exact story.
It really is, and we got way off topic, but
that's all right.
It goes where it's gonna go. But
yes, exactly.
I want to get back to you and your divergence into history. And one thing I wanted to ask you about: you have the most unique take on the Jesuits. that I've ever seen. Do you want to explain that a little bit? Because I'm fascinated to no end.
I would love to, dude. And I don't know if I'm sold on this theory yet, but
you don't need to be.
Okay. All right. So the thinking, this is my so far. I read quite a few Jesuit books, but basically my theory is that, I'm starting to wonder is, are the Jesuits actually just that they're a militant group fighting the Gnostic New World Order or whatever you want to call it? And the reason why I say this is because the Knights Templar were a group that I'm so fascinated by in the Crusades, and I always joke like, let's take back Jerusalem again. And so I love the Templars, and I for the longest time I thought that when they got banned in 1307 was because, oh, they had this money, the king of France wanted that cash, that's why the Pope was jealous or whatever. And then and they were the good guys, and that's why the Catholic Church went after them, and that's what, and so if they're the good guys, the Catholic Church is the bad guys, the Jesuits are the bad guys. But the more I read, it just seems that it's this battle that's been going on between this Gnostic group versus the Catholic Church. And so I'm starting to like think like maybe it is it, and this is not like the Catholic Church is the most demonized entity, and it's absolutely super corrupt. But why is it so easy? Like, there's no other. It just is odd to me that the Jesuits and the Catholic Church, you can trash them constantly. The media trashes them, even though, you know, the priests raping kids, even though public school system has way blows the Catholic Church in sexual abuse cases.
And Hollywood,
another thing. And then
modern politicians.
We don't hear those. We just hear the Catholic Church. And so I wonder if maybe this they created this militant arm to actually try and stop whatever group this, the Templars and whatever they became, the Freemasons, down. That was their defense mechanism, was against this group. And I'm still working on this theory, but the Templars, they grew out of like the Canaanites, that belief system. They became the Caribbean pirates. That's who was in the New World. They had all these ancient maps.
Was Johnny Depp there?
He probably was, dude. That's probably what got. That's why Amber Heard. She's probably a Jesuit.
She was shitting all their chests. Sorry.
And then the East India Company was started by the same Caribbean pirates that were most like all the power people were Templars. So I just keep going down. I just keep finding like this is definitely an evil side. This Templar group, this Gnostic group, or you know, they're doing some crazy stuff. And so, it doesn't have to be good guy versus bad guy. That's so simplified.
Right.
But I think if I had to pick a side, I would pick the Jesuits over the monopoly having Gnostic, you know, kind of Luciferian people. So that's my working theory. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I like about it.
Okay, yes. I would love you tell me, yes, please.
Well, the reason that it piqued my interest, because I like when I hear something, especially from somebody in the conspiracy community, that goes against everything we always all talk about. Yeah. And so I had a visceral reaction when I heard you first mention, and I don't remember even what episode it was. It might have been one of your group little roundtable things, or it might have just been, I think it was you with other people. But I heard those words coming out of your mouth. Like, what if the Jesuits were actually, I don't remember how you worded it, but and I was just like, what? It was like the record skipping, you know? And I was like, Jack. And then I just heard you explain a little bit. And that's what they would do, though, is if the people fighting for good would be the most demonized.
Yeah.
And the most collectively shit on. So when I heard you say that, that's kind of where my mind went. And then I heard you expound on it a little bit more. You were talking to Odd Man, and I don't remember who else. This was a few weeks ago. And so that's one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you tonight, was that bit alone, but not just that, but that was the main reason. So
hilarious, dude.
I don't know if...
I'm trying to think of other good... And like, so... I'm again, like, this is such a word. I'm not like the idea man, but I wonder if something corrupted these groups, because like the Jesuits were, they were a very powerful group. They created, they were big into plays and stuff like that. But then I wonder, is it really actual Jesuits that are behind these plays? Or is it like Shakespeare, for example, all that was, you know, popped up in the 1500s and just plays in general. And they realized the power of propaganda through people, through entertainment. The people that are writing these like Shakespearean plays and all these things with all these metaphors and stuff, they're not the Jesuits really. They're usually like these Rosicrucians or Freemasons who are always in battle with the Catholic Church. And so this would make sense that it would be the groups that grew out of Templarism, which was, have been battling the Catholic Church forever. I'm trying to think of the pirate examples. They found the New World. Just like a Columbus, how he,
talk about that too.
Oh yeah,
talk about who Columbus was and who he wasn't, because I heard you on Deborah Gets Red Pilled talking about that.
Yeah.
So who? What was his real name?
They don't know his real name. That's they have no idea. It wasn't Christopher Columbus. It was it was probably most likely a Jewish name. So that's who funded him. That's who and Jewish people, and you know, it's a very in-group preference group. Especially back then in the 1400s, they're not going to give millions and millions of dollars to a Gentile. You know, right. That's not how this works. And especially because they're going to gain some of the wealth, but the majority of the wealth is going to be going to Spain and Portugal and the Catholic Church. But yeah, that whole story is just fascinating that that's who supported him. His wife, again, just what are the odds of this? His wife, she's a descendant of this one family. They're a Portuguese family. So when the Templars got ended, they went to Portugal, they went to Scotland, they went to Italy. And the Portuguese one, I think they changed it to the Order of the Knights of Christ. And to avoid the mistake, they made the king that the Grand Master of their group. But some Portuguese sailor, he sailed with Sinclair. So him and Sinclair, they sailed in the New World together. They had all these maps that were from the King Solomon's Temple. And then 100 years later, the descendant of that family that sailed with Sinclair, the daughter married Christopher Columbus. So he's clearly has ties to something beyond just like, and he was a low-born like or a metal-born person. He didn't have he wasn't a high noble or anything like that. This family was, and back in those days, you could not, you know, it's like the caste system essentially. You're not just going to marry. You can't just marry up for being a charming adventurer. And then my favorite part about the Columbus thing was in the year in 1492, Spain kicked all the Jewish people out of Spain. And when did they leave? 3 days after Spain kicked out all the Jewish people. So it's just all, so clearly Christopher Columbus, he's most 95% sure he's Jewish, 100% sure he's either a Templar or working with the Templars and very closely. But it's, yeah, so that, I mean, I'm trying to think of the other really fun. Oh, the sails or the names of the ship. They were Nina, Pinta, Santa Maria. Those weren't the original names. They had different names. The one Santa Maria is like St. Clair, the Sinclair family. And it's the Maria. It's that Gnostic story of Jesus having a bloodline. So they're taking Santa Maria was Mary, and people think, oh, the Virgin Mary, but it's for Mary Magdalene, and they're impregnating the New World with trying to create this utopia that they've been searching for hundreds of thousands of years, just like the Jewish people were. So the Templars and them worked together to do this. So it's like another, not just like 9/11 is one of those rituals. This was the same thing, because they knew the world existed, but they needed a ritual to bring it into the group consciousness of everybody.
They knew where they were going. It wasn't the spice trade and like, oops, there's a big fucking chunk of land here right in the middle of our route.
Right.
Right.
I'm sorry if you like know this, but Columbus on his first trip, he didn't bring a priest. So that's odd. You know, if he's a Catholic sailing for Spain and everyone brought a priest or whatever, if you were Protestant, a minister on your maiden voyages and all the voyages, he brought none. And you know, he's going to try and find this way to India and China to trade so they can avoid the pirates and the Muslims. But what does he bring to trade? You know, these are expensive goods, spices, silk. He brings hats, glass beads, and like other weird trinkets that are made in Europe. And so one, he could not have traded that for anything. He could not have gotten wealth. He couldn't have gotten, you know, spices with that. But if you happen to have knowledge, diaries of your ancestors that say there's native people here, they're very, they lack technology, glass beads would be a perfect thing to trade with them because they have not seen glass beads.
Yeah, and probably looks
why like funny them. Hats? I don't know. I guess maybe they thought they liked hats. But
they probably loved hats, man. They never had the sun out of their eyes before. So have you come across anything about Africans having made it over to the New World before Europeans did? Do you know anything about that theory?
I know the Afrocentric, and I just almost finished Graham Hancock's Fingerprints of the Gods.
Oh, classic. Yeah. I read that so long ago, I don't remember any of it.
And it was kind of getting into ancient alien territory, which I still like.
He walks that line for sure.
What's that?
I said he walks that line for sure.
Oh,
like he
yeah.
almost like dives full into David Icke, Bill Cooper territory, but doesn't.
Yeah.
But he like...
You're right. He stops right.
But guys like us could read it and be like, oh, he's going there. But he never does. It's like when you watch and I haven't watched any of it. I've just heard a shitload of people talk about it. But his Ancient Apocalypse Netflix series. It's like it almost becomes Ancient Aliens, but it just never does. Like... He's telling the same story. He's just being way more polite about it.
It literally is like that George, that he like George, he's going to pop up anywhere in that the guy with the crazy hair, and he's going to be in the book at some point.
Yeah.
But he brought up how like the Olmec civilization, you know, that those Olmec heads in South America, that they have the wide nose like an African American would have. They don't look Hispanic. They don't look, indigenous. They look like African-American. So I don't think it's too out. I don't think that I disagree with them that like the slate that they were here first and all that stuff like that. But
it would have been more like Brazil, like down there. I think if they were going to make it somewhere on crude boats, it would probably be like to more Southern South America more than like where Columbus supposedly
went. That's a good point.
And I mean, they did have a heavy slave trade if you look at history, but also they were a lot closer and a more of a direct route. So I've always wondered about that.
Exactly.
Because their population is how much? It's not a lot of white people. It isn't.
It's not. It's not.
Brazil's got like quite a melting pot, but
yeah,
like deep roots into the African American community. And I mean, it's not African American. They are South American. I don't like that term. African American.
I never know what to say anymore.
Black. I mean, it's like what's in the vernacular. People used to say colored people. Now it's people of color, but people know what that's we true. Mean when we say that's black. True. So there's black and white people. And then there's like the people in between.
What do you think about it? Do you like that theory or no?
I like a mix of it. Like, I think that history is telling us a certain side of what they want us to know about. Like, let's just take... My dad's a high school history teacher, retired, but...
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to get too far off topic, but a few years ago, sat down with him and asked him about Operation Northwoods, and he looked at me like a dog being shown a card trick. And he had never heard of it.
I'm sure.
Well, then we pulled up... It was on Wikipedia at that point because, I mean, Phil might know what year this was disclosed to the American public, but it wasn't that, like, long ago. It was definitely after 2000. My dad went to college in like the 80s. So
that's
But he looked it up on Wikipedia and he was just like, holy shit. He's like, this is real? Why don't I know about this? I was like, I don't know. Your job is to just teach kids what to believe about history and you don't know about this.
Yeah.
But that's hilarious. So anyway, to get back to my point, I think that there is truth in the curriculum that we are spoon fed in high school and whatnot. But there's also a lot of bullshit in there. I think not all. I don't think we should throw out the baby with the bathwater. They are giving us a narrative that does kind of harken back to maybe some things that actually happened. But I think like what you're doing, you're reading a lot of books and you're kind of coming up with your own opinion. And I think we got to do that because people need to. Have you ever considered writing your own book? I think I lost you, Jack, or did you lose me?
All right. Jeez, dude, I just lost power out of nowhere.
Oh, though.
Yeah. Really? That was crazy. But okay, so right. The last prayer, don't throw the baby out the bathwater. And sorry, everybody. I know why it just shut off everything. But anyway.
I don't remember exactly what I said after that. I was saying that
theories and yeah, baby in the bathwater, your own theories.
Yeah, so I think that was the last part. What you're doing, where you are reading a bunch of books and kind of coming up with your own opinion on some of it. And I was asking, have you ever considered writing a book on anything?
Dude, I would love to write a book.
I think you should, dude, because you haven't been looking into stuff like relatively that long, and you're already coming up with some excellent opinions. So,
well, thanks, dude. I would.
I just think we need some more of books. That. We just need more new ideas, and like people can't analyze. And let's see, this is what scares the shit out of me is when you watch the news today, that's what's going to go down in the history books. And we're living through a time right now where we can see with our own eyes the shit that they're reporting is so far off the truth that the people that are reading about it 20, 30 years down the line, they're not going to know. They're going to hear like crazy old people like me and you going, "That's not the way it happened, I tell you." If we're still alive. You will be because you're healthy. Hopefully, I don't think I want to be alive in 20 or 30 years. But if I am, I'm going to be that crazy guy on the front porch going,
"Same." Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what scares me. And you would be someone like writing alternative history books.
One day, but you're right that the whole history, and that's like, did we talk Tartaria last time or no?
No, we should though.
Oh, dude, I'm just fixing this goddamn bright light. So tell me I brought that up because of the history. And I like to ask people this. What's your feelings on Tartaria and the?
I don't know enough about it to have my own opinion on it. I like listening to people talk about it, and so there's Tartaria, and then there's the other one, right?
Like Atlantis.
Well,
or Lemuria.
Does that fit into Tartaria, like Atlantis and Lemuria?
They're all like the same idea.
Are they?
You know, an ancient civilization that had all this technology that we lost.
Okay, so yeah. I kind of have my own idea on it without having done a hell of a lot of research. But I do believe that we have had civilizations peak and fall. And kind of like what Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson talk about, to where, you know, the hunter-gatherers, the people who were living without technology would have been the ones to survive a cataclysm. But I don't know how right they have it. Like, I don't know. The pyramids, what are they?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Just general. Are you gone again?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh,
okay.
Oh,
it was just your picture. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, your picture keeps freezing.
Just these structures that we find, Göbekli Tepe, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they don't really have an explanation for how they are there, what, or even how old they are. Like, what's the guy's name, the Egyptologist that Joe Rogan really loved, and he was the one that talked about the Sphinx?
Thomas Schoenberger.
Is that his name? He died recently.
I think it's something. His mom's a theosophist. Like, I think that's his. Maybe I'm getting him confused, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
See, the thing about those guys is they're almost as bad as the mainstream history people. They come up with their own theory, and then they're like, "No, it's this."
Yeah.
And so what I think about all of it is we don't fucking know.
No.
And why not speculate? But when you speculate, don't stand by it and die on that hill as if it's the God-given truth to like how we are. Right. I don't think any of that's like the way to go about it. So I like people who take a loose approach to it. And I love people who are passionate and really in your face with it, but they also do that thing where it's just their way or the highway. So that's how I kind of approach everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's why my like visceral reaction to what you were saying about the Jesuits really, like, it was, I don't really feel that way that often. like somebody I respect who I know is very smart and well researched just throws something at me that just makes me go, ooh. So that's what I live for. Is just like,
yeah,
when there's a moment where I'm like, maybe I don't know anything about that topic.
I feel that all the time. Yeah.
Good. And to remain open, and like the more information you take in and to be willing to flex with it, I think that's kind of what we need to do. So that was my long answer to what do I think of Tartaria? Like, is that like all the mud floods and shit too? That's in
yeah,
there?
That's it's like them in the airships and all those things. And for the guy that Alex for that, it's a Russian Alex Fomenko. He wrote like a lot of the books on that. And Isaac Newton, he had theories that they inserted time into our past. But
ooh,
I don't know about that.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. So he wrote a book, actually. Newton wrote that they inserted 1,000 years into our history. And it was the last book he wrote before he died. I think he wrote it and I don't know why, but it was like written in French. I don't know why. I don't know why, but it was written. It was never translated.
Isaac Newton.
There you go, dude. And I love the history of France, but he, and then when he died, and so then all the people that talked about the book, they said, oh, brilliant guy, but he went a little crazy. He got too old. But so the point I'm meaning is I could definitely see time is added into our history. I mean, the only people that could write are these clerical, you know, monks or priests. And so how much stock are they going to write the example, or like from their side, are they going to, because back then they weren't neutral. You know, they no one wrote anything like, well, let me, you know, in 500 years, people are going to read my manuscript and they're going to say, I just want the facts. No, they wrote these things in their perspective, their side. But so I could see history being manipulated, and like the structures we talked about, there was communication going on between civilizations that prior to 1492. But I struggle to believe that a total civilization came and was a worldwide, and they built all these structures and then they just disappeared. And the reason why I struggle with that is because it sounds exact, again, like what all the Francis Bacon and all these people talk about, Atlantis, this utopia, this golden age. Well, that's what Tartaria is. It's a golden age, and how we should go back to it. And so I just always like asking people that, because now I could agree that time's manipulated, evidence is hidden, all that thing. But the think that a total global civilization that it was able to build all these beautiful things, well, then how'd they lose, dude? How did they lose to people shooting muskets who don't have this power? How the mud flood? Okay, well, the mud flood went worldwide. There wasn't, you know, so I struggle fully being, some people are really balls deep into it. And I'm not that far, but I just like to ask people, because it's like flat earth, dude. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And it's also, it's a similar topic there, flat earth, where you'll see people trying to kill each other over whether they believe the earth is flat or not, like in the year 2023, which I'm not into globe earth myself.
Yes, neither am I.
Flat earth, it's a heated topic. I mean, I like the hidden lands theory, where it's not just a flat earth, but it's like an infinite plane. Have you seen those maps that go out on Twitter? Some people have on there. Those are fascinating to me.
And maps are a fascinating topic. If you like maps, that Fomenko guy, he wrote like 12 books about Tartaria, and one of them is the maps. And people will bring that up, how California was an island, how either there's maps that are older but have correct information, and then maps 200 years later have incorrect information. So how do they get that information? But it wouldn't shock me that there's, I swear there's land that how would we know? Do we have no idea if there's extra land other places, but I do believe there's Antarctica or something. There's more than what we're being told.
Why is it so heavily guarded?
Speaking once, let me turn around. I got, you know, I'm like big into old newspapers. So this
like Indiana Jones.
So this one's it was Admiral Byrd flies to the South Pole and back.
New York Times.
Looking over almost limitless plateau, drops food, lightens ship on perilous trip. And this one, though, was from the first message ever sent from the South Pole. But this one was from 1929. So I had no idea that he went there, Operation High Jump, and before that in 1929. But, you know, there's like the Peary Reese map and stuff that have this, that's the one that has Antarctica's shoreline on it. And it's supposedly from the 1500s, or that's when Peary Reese made the map. He said it was from earlier sketches. So there is something so weird, like maps and exploration. There's just something so odd going on there that we're not being told the whole story.
Yeah. Do you know Andy from the Deep Share podcast?
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy too.
So this is a topic that he's really fascinated in. I just heard him on he was a guest on somebody else's podcast recently.
Okay.
Loco Listens. Yeah. You know who that is?
Oh, I've seen them on. Yeah.
Yeah, so
on
we just started following each other on Twitter. I don't remember his name though. He's a hell of an interviewer. He was interviewing Andy in this episode. Okay. I listened to, and they got onto that topic and just a whole bunch of stuff I'd never heard of before. But I'd love to pick his brain about that.
He's, you know, it's so, 'cause everyone starts a podcast and I love it, a lot of people tend to fall off because they're like, wow, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh my God, this is so easy. You just talk, you know, and then after you run through your first 10 guests and you're like, shit, what am I going to do next? And then it usually slows down. But, what was the point of that? I was making of that
something about, Andy.
Andy though, I saw him. And so I always pay attention to new people, but he really like impressed me with, he brings up topics and he's a little bit different of an area that I read in, like he talks about like the pics. I don't even know what he's talking. I can't even understand half his posts. They're like beyond my ability to, I don't know what he's talking about, but yeah, he's a very smart guy. Very smart guy.
How about Great Deception podcast, Matt? You know,
good old Matt.
Yeah. Have you worked with him?
We always message each other. He's, dude, another, his Instagram's amazing, dude. He works, you know, it's so hard to create your own stuff, dude. He creates all of his posts. I don't know if he does it weeks in advance or how he does it, but he's spent so much time curating photos. He's an awesome, awesome guy as well. He's more Tartaria than I think, but we haven't talked in a while, so I don't know where he stands anymore, but he's such a good guy.
He's going to come talk about World's Fairs on Conspiracy Playtime here in the next month or so. So I'm looking forward to that because that's a topic I'm really fascinated in. But yeah. I've only done surface level research. So
have you? I just loaned my book. So where I got these newspapers, most of them, next to my house is this huge like fire hazard building with just books, like coins, Nazi memorabilia, everything, dude. And that's where I get all my news. So I have a bunch of newspapers that are from the Columbia World's Fair. So all these, the actual pay from Scientific American, each week they would highlight another like invention that's at these World's Fairs. And I've gone through them. And so I try to always show Matt those, but that's another thing that story doesn't make sense either. 700 acres that they cleared in 2 years with no power tools. It was a swamp or raising buildings, raising a whole city block 5 feet into the air by just using men and wood and leverage. That was the thing in Chicago. They did that. And the people, they didn't even shut the block down. People were still shopping while they're raising these 5-6-story buildings 5 feet in the air.
Yeah. It makes you wonder.
What? Dude, that doesn't make any sense. So there is like some odd, all the fires that always just, that's like that time period. And that's what I love. Like, that's why I kind of moved away from World War II, because that information is so like selectively displayed and it's so propagandized. But things before that, especially if you can find authors from earlier times, I just value their information so much because the AHA, the American Historical Association, didn't get their claws into it before these people, you know, wrote their books.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at World War II, in the like mainstream accepted history that we all you know, we regurgitate it because it was what was taught to us in high school, and it's all in all the Steven Spielberg movies and everything. They leave our hand, the United States of America, and our secret societies and our intelligence organizations. That's where eugenics came from.
Right.
This is not something that they came up with over there.
No.
And so, dude, part of me believes, and this is very controversial, I should put on my yay mask when I say this. So part of me believes, just kidding, I'll just say it as myself, but I wonder, honestly, was Hitler even fully aware of the concentration camps and what was going on in there? Is that was just like a side operation by somebody else? Because I'm not saying Hitler was a good dude whatsoever. No. He obviously wasn't. But it just seems like there was so much going on at once. And our reluctance to enter the war until very late, after Russia had pretty much already won it, really suspect. Just the whole thing, Pearl Harbor and just all of it. It's just all so convenient.
It is too convenient, dude. Ugh.
Don't strangle yourself, good sir.
I'm still working on this book, but it's called Hitler Was a British Agent.
Ooh. I like the title.
Yeah, dude. I read it on an airplane and everyone was staring at me when I was on it. But
when you went to Denver?
Yes, it was. Oh no, I think it was on honeymoon. I brought it to embarrass my wife, so that's when I did it. But yeah, the way we found out about the concentration camp supposedly is that these two guys, they were in it, they escaped. So I guess we didn't know about them, I guess, somehow before that. These two guys, they escaped. They hid underneath a wood pile for 3 days. Then they ran like 30 miles and they found somebody. Then they got shipped back and they're the ones that were the first ones to break the story. And you can see how this, it's like, it's just so hard. What do I trust? What do I like? That sounds ridiculous. The same way, like Winston Churchill, the way he got famous was, it was a similar story. He was trapped in a POW camp in the Boer War, which the British were raping, poisoning wells, killing women and children. They were the bad guys, but the Boers were, you know, history says they're the bad guys. And Winston gets trapped and he climbs through the mud for 3 days crawling. He's about to die. And he comes upon a small cabin and they have water and they give him water. And then he continues. They're all looking for him for another week. And somehow he finds a boat. And what do you know? The boat's going back to England and he gets to go escape to England. You know, I think they do these stories because humans love good stories, love an underdog story. And so that they do this, it's just propaganda, dude. And they've been doing it for so, so long. The opium wars, I'm working on them right now.
Oh, nice.
Dude, it's like hilarious. Like they, you know, China didn't want the opium there. The emperor did not want China was a mess then, but the British came back and they said, the Chinese, they hate free trade. You know, if they really cared about opium, they should just make it legal and tax it. And they had all this propaganda. The Chinese attacked this poor British smuggler and they killed him. And that's, this all led up to, and it's just, it's amazing to me that, you know, nothing is new under the sun. It's just repeated.
The same old false flag operation that we still use today, right?
Dude, exactly. I haven't read, this is my last one I'll show you and I'll stop reaching.
That's great. I like this.
So this is a 1934. Let me get it closer. So it was about the Nazi coup. This way. There we go. The Nazi coup, when they, you know, the Reichstag, and they overthrew the Weimar Republic officially, or the president or whatever. But it's, and this paper, though, I've read like the article on it, and it's just funny that in 1934, they weren't evil. The Nazis weren't, it wasn't written as, they're written as like normal, you know, oh, they purged these people. And I have a World War One. I don't know. It's just fascinating to me, dude, that what we remember is history. And then when you look at old sources and resources, it's not what was going on at the time. You know, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if that made any sense.
It made a lot of sense. And I think it kind of it can lead me to make a few predictions of today. Like, I think
I'd love to hear it.
Well, I think Zelensky's going to be a major fucking bad guy in 20 years.
Ooh.
Even though he's fake.
Elaborate.
Okay, so, well, it's basically just the same playbook that we were using with Osama bin Laden and the Taliban and the CIA fighting off the Russians in the, what was it, late 70s, early 80s?
Right.
And yeah. I don't know if those years are right. But, see, I'm like you and Phil, you guys soak in information, and I have like a drug-addled brain. So it's like, it's like somewhere in that area of 1970. Yeah. But anyway, I think that they're just setting it up. Like, he is such on a pedestal right now, and he is he is such a demanding little twat. He goes to the White House or he goes to the Golden Globes. He's like, we need more money. We need more weapons. Long live the Ukraine. So the first sign of like, he's more powerful than us. And I mean, who knows if we keep giving him everything, at what point is he just going to be able to turn it back on us or our allies? And now, mind you, I don't think any of it's real.
Yeah.
I think it's a hell of a story. And I think probably Vladimir Putin's been dead since 2019. Honestly. Ooh. Like, I don't think that guy's alive right now. I think that Russia is just, you know, it's like you've read Orwell, 1984. Yeah. You got Oceania, East Asia, Eurasia, and that's China, Russia, and then the Western world. Mm-hmm. So another thing I think is going to happen is, and this might piss a few people off, but I don't care. You're going to see like what the swastika is today. I think at some point you're going to see the rainbow LGBTQ shit be that symbol, because it's like, really? Right now it's one of unity, but you're starting to see how they are with it. Like, you're on board with us or fuck yeah. Like, watch TikTok. They're setting it up to be like the power symbol. And what happens when like a symbol gets a lot of power? It eventually becomes the bad guy.
Ooh.
So I see those two things happening at some point in our lifetime. And who knows?
Have you ever heard of the CMP? So this is John Brisham's world. Have you ever heard him talk about that from when you read the documents?
Yeah. Oh, no. The only time I listen to him is when he's on your show. So does he have his own podcast?
He has like a YouTube channel. He just like does it. He's more like a current event. Who's connected to who? He's got a great memory brain, but that's his big idea or big claim is the CMP. And so the CMP is the C, you have the CFR, and that's a left leaning NGO. And then you have the CMP, which is a right, which battles the CFR. And so I don't subscribe to his theory completely, but some of these things I could see what he means. And so he talks about how the CMP, their thing is the new world order of love and light. And and so a lot of his like Steve Bannon, who's the Russian guy whose daughter was killed supposedly,
Putin's
buddy.
Shit, I always forget, you know, his name. Yes, I know. Here,
someone in the chat will say it. But he
and if any time you want to incorporate stuff into the chat, go ahead, because I can't see it. So if like someone's making a great point and you want to say it,
I will. They always make great points. Yeah. I try to, but so he says that's like what they're going to use that the CMP is actually gaining control. They're gaining more power. And so they're going to flip everything to this love and light, like a new age kind of ecumenicalism Christianity, where it's, you know, a one world religion of loving and vibrations and energy. So it's, I kind of relating that to the rainbow thing.
Oh, because, I think it's a great correlation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's his, and sometimes I like that. The other times I struggle because the CFR just seems so much more powerful than I've never heard of the CMP, but I like, you know, I can see what he talks about that, how that's where it's like that pendulum, and they're pushing that pendulum so far left that it's going to swing back. It has to, like, it can't keep, it already is. And so is this part of the plan to bring back Donald Trump, to bring back to bring a new leader that's going to kind of like a Hitler-esque character who's funded by the bankers. And that's, don't you want to bring back the world to normal? And that's how they're going to usher in this new world order. So they're going to make it so crazy that you beg for the opposite.
That'll be like when AOC is president.
That would definitely help set that off for sure.
Yeah. She's one of my favorites. Like, she talks about being all for, you know, she hates capitalism, but she goes to the Met Gala and she has like a slave holding her dress up with wearing a mask while doing it. And her fucking dress says "Eat the Rich." It's like, what's wrong with this picture? But yeah, I think that the pendulum thing, like the CFR and the CMB?
CMP, Council, or CNP, Council for National Policy.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into that because that's
definitely, like, yeah. You should talk to John. I'll introduce you.
I'd love to talk to John. I feel like I know him already just through your show. So
he's big on it, yeah.
What if they're just, I think they're both controlled. It's like two sides of the same coin. They're controlled by the same person. So the pendulum's swinging, just kind of a way to keep us on our toes, really.
That's Anthony Sutton. He's written synthesis, antithesis, or antithesis, thesis equals synthesis. So he says you control both ends of the extreme. You know the goal you want. You smash them together. You can then guide the. It's kind of like the problem reaction solution thing. Yeah. But that's
and just all the old playbook.
Right. So I kind of agree with you. You know, I don't know. I struggle to believe there's two factions vying for power because it just seems so coordinated that.
And maybe there was at one time, but at some point somebody won and they control everything now. I mean, that's truly what I believe at the heart of it is it's all shadow play. And, you know, you can invest as much of your time and energy into understanding it as you want.
Yeah.
But the information is controlled and filtered.
Yeah. So you said that you don't think the Ukraine wars, are you in the camp that you don't think they're fighting, or what do you mean when
I think there's fighting going on. Okay. I think there's death. I think there's lots of use of weapons going on, but that's all part of it, as it always has been. I think that, like I said, I honestly believe that, I don't know if this is a Mandela effect in my own personal life, but I remember in late 2018, Putin announced that he was dying. It was on an NPR story. I still listen to NPR every morning. Like, because you got to know your enemy. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I pull my fucking hair out when I listen to it. But I swear, he said he had Parkinson's disease and that he's going to step down.
Yeah.
And now he's like strong as a bull and leading this charge into Ukraine. I mean, I think that there is a charge, but I think a lot of us giving them weapons and these rockets and stuff, a lot of that shit didn't start fucking up until we put our money into it. And I mean, is it Odd Man that does like the Color Revolution deep dives?
Yeah.
Like, we've had our hand in it for decades.
Right.
Probably longer. Right. And this is our war. It's a proxy war.
Oh, I like it.
But it's not a war between Ukraine and Russia.
Agreed.
Zelensky's not Ukrainian. He might live there.
And is he, wait, was he born in Ukraine?
I have no idea what his story is, but this whole rise, like a phoenix out of the ashes. He's like Trump. He was a reality star. Like, he was a comedian, failed comedian, had a show. In the show, he was a high school teacher who became the president. And then he became president in real life. I mean, it's too on the nose. Like, they need to it's just, maybe that's on purpose so that we won't ever say. But...
Well, I wouldn't be the dying of Putin and stuff like that. Dude, all these leaders have, you know, and we can clones, I'm sure those exist as well, but body doubles are a totally, like, there's a movie I've always bring, The Devil's Double, and it's about Saddam Hussein.
His son?
And they all have body doubles, and so do our powerful, they all have body doubles.
Yeah, how many Bidens are there? There's got to be, at least four.
And that might be like hard, but it literally happened. And they did it too in olden days too. Like in ancient times, they did. Obviously, they didn't even know what the ruler looked like, so you wouldn't know they would just see a painting, you know. So you don't know what your king is. They did the same exact stuff then. So you know, I wouldn't surprise me that Putin, because if he died, there's going to be chaos in Russia. So it's easier just to go along, saying he's doing great and killing it, you know.
I don't know. Like, I think that there is a bunch of carnage going on over there, but to the level of that we can know about it, and It's just, I've noticed, like, as 2023 started rolling, we start seeing, like, oh, maybe Ukraine really isn't kicking as much ass as we said they were. It's kind of the narrative I'm seeing right now in the mainstream news. Is like, yeah, the tide is turning. So who knows what story they're going to lob at us. I don't know.
Right. Well, so I'll go in like 10 minutes. It's all right. So where do you think, what do you see America is going to happen in America in these next few years?
Ooh, I mean, without being blackpilled, which okay. I can be, I think that politics as we know it are totally going to dissolve. It kind of already has.
Yeah.
Like my friends in my daily life that are political, it's dwindling like day by day. It's just people aren't buying That's it great. Anymore. And I used to have people yell at me when I told them I didn't vote for president. And like, I vote for, certain measures and stuff locally. I'll vote for that. But I'm not going to vote for politicians. Like, I don't know any of these motherfuckers. And I don't think any of them have our best interests at heart. And I think that that view is becoming more prevalent. So I think that what we've seen in the last 10 years is the election integrity has totally gone out the window. I mean, you look at the way that they do these elections in South America. Like, look at the stuff that's going on right now in Brazil.
Yeah.
And is it Puerto Rico that's just kind of flying off the handle right now? Or there was some country down there. God, I don't know. Maybe somebody in the chat could tell us, but
yeah, if they know.
It's a recent one. And it's just, and these elections actually, compared to ours, they look like they're kind of legit.
Yeah.
So, but we're trying to say it's the other way. And that kind of just, I mean, like Venezuela, that's a great example of, I think it was Jimmy Carter. He went down there and he said, this is like the tightest election I've seen in my entire life. So, and that was when, what's his name? We put Juan Guaido in there. I can't remember the other guy's name. The guy that's still running shit, I think.
Chavez?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
The guy that's running it now. I can see him. He's got a mustache.
Right.
Yeah. He's kind of chunky.
Is he?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, he's a little chunky.
Everybody's chunky compared to you, Jack.
No. He's definitely... Go ahead.
Just to get back to your question about where America is going to be in 10 years, who the hell knows? But I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think that the surveillance state, people read Whitney Webb and listen to James Corbett and those people, I mean, they are putting everything they have into this right now. And it's, I think the thing is to be reliant on technology, you're going to have to be heavily surveilled every single moment of your day. And even me, I have a flip phone, but I'm talking to you right now over the internet. Yeah, I got rid of my smartphone like 2 years after getting it. It just creeped me the fuck out, dude. I mean, it's not like I don't take pride in it. It's almost a weakness. I was addicted to it, and I also felt like that thing being in my pocket all the time, it just didn't feel right.
Wow. And
so I have a tablet now that I use for internet stuff. And then I have my desktop that I use for the podcast. But still, I'm heavily reliant on technology. Compared to most people I know, it doesn't seem like it. But if I leave the house without my phone, I freak out. I could be halfway to work and turn around.
True. Yeah, I would too.
Remember when we had landlines and we didn't think twice about it when we left the house?
It's like another world, dude, isn't it?
It's only getting worse. It's like another world compared to back when we left the house and the landline was home and we had an answering machine if we were lucky. Now, we talked about the chat bots and just all the social media stuff. It's just amping up to just totally run our lives. The metaverse is going to happen. I don't know when people are going to fully immerse in there, but 10 years from here, I don't think it'll be that different, but we'll be well on our way to it.
Right. Right.
I mean, we kind of,
well, even if you look at 5 years ago, dude, like pot, no one knew what pot. I mean, like a lot of people knew podcasts, but not
Joe Rogan.
Not the word. Yeah. That was it. That was, you know, and now, I mean, you look just how many new podcasts and everything, like it's just, it's scary, dude. It's like, it can be I think sometimes Ted Kaczynski, he was onto something, dude. The Industrial Revolution.
I love Ted Kaczynski. I wish I had a shirt that said that. Doesn't Tinfoil Hat have the Unabomber was right shirt?
Unabomber was right or something.
I want to get that one.
Yeah, that is a good. But yeah, it's just, and even it seems that every there, it's like, oh my, this is going to embarrass me. So there's a show called Once Upon a Time. Have you ever seen the show?
Is it like fairy tale stuff?
It's like fair. It's like the girliest, I can't say the G word, the lamest show in the world, but I used to watch it, and they always say magic comes with a price, but that's literally what technology is. It all this convenience, you're losing something for it. For whatever the convenience you're gaining out of it, you're losing something probably more worth more than the convenience you're saving. And I just see more and more. I mean, I look at like my boss's kid, you know, both parents work. He's exhausted. He just wants to relax for a little bit. His kid's on the iPad constantly or Xbox. And if he takes it, he freaks out. The kid goes crazy. And we're raising a generation that's it.
That should be alarming to that dude. Like, and that should say, hey, maybe I should take it from him.
right. And then I see though the flip side, like you work 50-hour weeks, you come home, and it's like they know we're in a lose-lose situation. You know, you'll turn on the TV so you get 30 minutes of quiet from your baby or your kid. And so I don't have children, God willing, but so I don't try not to judge people, but it's like the options, it seems, is like drop everything, move into the woods, or you just try your very best to remain, you know, within the not too crazy and falling down all these addictions of, video games or whatever, computer games, technology.
Have you seen Captain Fantastic?
No, I don't think so.
It's not a Marvel movie or anything like that. It's not a superhero movie. Write this down. You got to watch this movie, Captain Fantastic. And it's about a guy raising his kids in the woods and then how they have to kind of like assimilate into the real world because of something that happens in their life. And he's raising like a bunch of socialists. They all love like Trotsky and just it's great because he didn't tell them to. He lets them believe whatever they want. But as they get older, they kind of come out of it. So anyway, I think there's a middle ground to be had there. Like, you can not give your 3-year-old a tablet.
Right.
they're going to be all around it, but you know, make it the thing that's like, oh, maybe when you're a little older.
All right, my last we'll end. So since you like the Jesuit, so I started thinking, what's your feelings on capitalism, communism, socialism? Are they the ultimate evil? What's your take on that? It's a vague question, I know, but go ahead.
I think they all lead to the same place eventually when they're taken to their most extreme. Okay. Like you take a totally capitalistic society, totally socialistic, communistic society. They're going to reach that same point of just straight up tyranny. Hence, Jack, why I'm an anarchist. And I know that you give me shit for this, but I stand by it.
No, I agree with you. I just that because like that's the boomer population, you know, like socialism or communism, and I
it's
like,
all the go, same.
And I, yeah, it's yeah that one. It's not the same, but it's
you, well. I you mean, in the like, end, like, yeah, they're oh, totally yeah. different. But and you take into their most logical conclusion,
right? But I don't, you know, I don't, the world's not fair. Like, I don't believe if you work 40 hours a week at Wendy's as a manager, you should deserve to be able to go to vacation. You should be able to deserve to, you know, not live paycheck to paycheck. That's not, you know, I don't think people that don't work deserve those benefits. But that's why this ultimate capitalistic society or whatever this. Now, I know that this is like crony capitalism.
Yeah, I was just going to say
it's a broken system too. You know, it's not a good, it's a horrible system. And granted, it's the bet I get the best chance you can to move through the ranks and everything like that. But it's monopolies. That's been the goal since the East India Company, dude, has been to hold a monopoly. And that's where we're going. The Rockefellers did it. Oh, we broke them up for Standard Oil. Well, not really. He owned 41% or 49% of all five of those gas companies that they broke Standard Oil into. So is it really a monopoly anymore? But you see, that's where this is. It's both options. One is just a corporate monopoly and the other is just a statement monopoly. But it's the going. So that's why I just wanted to ask you that, because I see like communist conspiracy theorists, and I'm always like, they never give me a good answer. I always say like, how did you find your way?
They have to fudge certain things. Like, you were talking about the Bolshevik Revolution of that guy, and he totally didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He got all of it wrong. If he's watching this, I'd love to debate you.
He's not watching it.
Communist Dad? Cool Communist Dad, right? That was his name?
Yeah, I think that was
his name. I thought he was a great dude. I mean, I'm sure that we'd have beers together and have fun.
Yeah.
But if we started talking politics, he might not like what I have to say, and that's fine.
Well, that was a good answer. I just, you know, because I keep flipping back, and that's another thing I flip back and forth on. Like, is all of it just, should we go back to bartering? What's the answer here? Because I think both are just so, people without morality, greed, it just overtakes everybody. They kill you if you don't allow greed to run your life, and you don't want to, you know, abuse your fellow man. And so both of them do, you know, what Jeff Bezos, is he any better than Joseph Stalin? Maybe he didn't, you know, actually, I don't even know however many people he actually killed. But if he had that power, I think Bezos, he's doing the same thing to businesses. He might not be putting a gun in their hand, but he's changing, taking these people's livelihoods and on and on and on.
Well, he's also got a way bigger dick than Stalin.
Who, Stalin or Bezos?
Bezos. Have you seen it?
No,
he shot it into space. I swear. He has these dick measuring contests. Like, yeah, that's what Stalin and those guys were missing, was like a way to show us how big their dick was.
That's a perfect spot to end his big dick into space. I mean, maybe the title of the show.
Ooh, I like it. Well, Jack, thanks, man. I mean, it was kind of like quick to make this happen, but you know, it was last time. It just kind of works out that way.
Yeah. Well, and so thank you for having me on, Colby. And so you guys know Colby's. So tomorrow I got Phil. Phil, he's been on the show doing he did Nixon and a few other topics. Colby's going to be on it, and Oddman. So we're going to do a historical. We're all going to pick a topic to discuss. So that's the plan, at least. So
and a historical topic, check, right?
Yeah. Well, whatever topic.
Does it have to be history?
No, it doesn't have to be, but I don't want to talk Steven Crowder.
What? I know. I fucking can't believe that shit's such a big deal. He's a bitch. Daily Wire are bitches.
They all are just.
All right. Anything but Steven Crowder, I can work with that.
All right. Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, dude. Here, I'll end this. Right. See you guys. I'll see you tomorrow, 8:30. All right. Bye. And the beat goes on. The beat goes on.